The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we await for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal places. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, a more than a prophet. This is the one whom it was written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday, we were introduced to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a strange man. We know actually very little about him, but what we do know, we can definitely say he's different. He seems to live alone in the wilderness. He lives an ascetic lifestyle. His diet seems to consist of locusts and honey. His hair is not cut. His beard is not shaved. In fact, it's probably full of chunks of locusts and honey. And he's a bear or a grizzly of a man. He wears a big leather tunic with a wide leather belt fastened around it. And he comes out of the wilderness. He stands on the banks of the River Jordan, and he calls people to repentance. John the Baptist is a man that calls it as he sees it. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're a brood of vipers. From the lowest to the highest, John calls people to repentance. And this has gotten John the Baptist in trouble. For just as John the Baptist unleashed his fury at the Sadducees, at the Pharisees, at the stable maid, he also went higher up. He stood outside the kingdom of Herod, and he accused Herod of wicked deeds. He accused Herod of marrying his brother's wife, Salome. He accused Salome of having two husbands. He accused them both of an incestuous marriage. He called for wrath and judgment upon them. John the Baptist was a man who called it as he sees it. He played no favorites, and he spoke the truth as he felt it, as he was called by God to speak it. And it is because of this that he finds himself in jail. Salome, Herod's wife, had had enough. Herod had enough. And to try and silence John, they throw John in jail. But that won't do it. Eventually, John is beheaded, and his head is brought on a platter. But in today's reading, we find John in jail. And besides being this weird guy, this loud guy, this confrontational guy, first and foremost, John the Baptist is a prophet. He's called by God. He has a ministry. He has a mission. And as he sees it, that ministry, that mission, is to call people to repentance and to prepare people for the coming of Christ's public ministry. And John the Baptist paints quite a picture of what Christ's ministry will look like. If we remember back to last Sunday, as John the Baptist speaks about Jesus, as John the Baptist speaks about Christ's coming ministry in and among the people, he uses quite rich metaphors, quite vivid imagery. We are told the Messiah, the Son of Man, is coming. He has an axe in his hand. He's standing at the root of the tree, and he will cut down every tree that does not bear good fruit. We are told with the coming of the Messiah, with the coming of Christ, that the day of judgment is coming. Two men will be working in the field. John says, one will be plucked up. One will be left to damnation. Two women grinding at the mill. One will be plucked up to heaven. One will be left for damnation. Prepare yourselves, says John. The day of judgment is coming. The Messiah, the Son of Man, is standing at the floor of the threshing. He has his pitchfork in his hand. He's separating the wheat from the chaff, and he will burn the chaff with an unquenchable fire. And the wheat he will take into his heavenly granary. This is the ministry of Christ that John the Baptist speaks of. And now John is in jail. And no doubt he's heard about Jesus. But guess what? Christ's ministry looks nothing like the ministry that John was preparing people for. Christ is not cutting down the trees that bear bad fruit or that bear no fruit. Christ is not sending people to damnation. Men and women are not being plucked up out of the fields or in the mill. Something's gone wrong for John. Christ started his ministry. John heralds Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God. John proclaims that he, John, is not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. John was present at Christ's baptism, and John's expecting big things, powerful things, things of judgment, things of damnation. John wants the world put on its head. He wants the evildoers to receive their due recompense. And he wants those who are good to receive their heavenly reward. But John is not hearing stories of this. So John gathers his followers in. They visit him in jail. And John sends them to Jesus to ask Christ this question. Are you the one we've really been waiting for? Or should we wait for another? In other words, you, Jesus, are not living up to our expectations of the Messiah. What are you? A prophet? A teacher? Where's the judgment? Where's the damnation? Where's the fire? Where's the brimstone? Christ answers those followers of John. You go back and tell John. The blind see. The deaf hear. The leopards are cleansed. New life is brought to the dead. Good news is preached to the poor. We do not know John's response to his followers when they came back to report what Christ had told them. But it's interesting in this reading. John is a great man. Christ goes on in today's gospel reading to tell us that from anyone born of a mother's womb, you, I, anyone throughout all of history, any human being, there is none greater than John the Baptist. He sacrificed for God. He was loyal to God. He preached God's word. He died for God's word. John the Baptist is an important character. John the Baptist is a saintly character. Saint John the Baptist. But John the Baptist is human. He is human like you and I. He is human like Peter and Paul. He is human like Moses who came before him. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Hosea, the prophets of the Old Testament, all human, just like John the Baptist. And like us, John the Baptist is also in bondage to sin. He is not the Son of God. He is not perfect. He is proclaiming a perfect message in an imperfect world. And what sin did John the Baptist create? What sin did John the Baptist engage in? A sin that we too often engage in. That of breaking the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods. John the Baptist wanted to create Christ,
One is to create the Messiah in his own image. John the Baptist, I'm a fiery guy. I preach repentance. I preach fire. I preach damnation. I preach death. The Messiah will look like me. The Messiah will be someone who preaches fire, brimstone, damnation, and death. The Messiah will be a perfection of what I want to be. The divine, the holy, the judge. John the Baptist was surprised when Christ didn't turn out this way. Christ is thoughtful. Christ is loving. Christ is encompassing. And this shows John the Baptist off. And we too engage in this. It is said that ever since God created us in His image, we've tried to return the favor. And we will often turn God into ourselves. We will suffer from the sin of idolatry because basically we seek to worship ourselves. If we're conservative, our God is conservative. If we're liberal, our God is liberal. If we believe in universal health care, our God believes in universal health care. If we believe in private health care, our God probably believes in individual responsibility. Our God favors the same sports teams we love. Our God likes the same music we like. Our God likes the same people we like. And our God does not like the same people that we hate. In other words, we often make our God a mere reflection of ourselves. That's what John the Baptist did. He had a fiery message. He had a message of discord. He had a message of separation. He had a message of judgment. And thus he thought that Christ, the Son of God, when he begins his public ministry, he will carry the same message. But that is not the case. And it is not the case for us. In theology, this is called the God box. We like to put God into a box. God is this, but God isn't that. God is here, but God is not out there. God likes these people, God doesn't like these people. God supports this cause, God is against this cause. That's called the God box. In the person of Christ, that box is smashed. The whole world thought they knew what the coming Messiah was to look like. He would be a royal leader. True enough, Christ can trace his lineage to King David, to the shoot of Jesse, as we proclaim and proclaim throughout Advent and Christmas. But Christ was not born as a king. He had no flowing royal robes. He was not born in a temple, in a palace. He was born in a manger to refugee parents. The Messiah will be a powerful leader that will have all of Israel rally behind him. Christ is a powerful leader, but you could hardly say that all of Israel rallied behind him. Seems to have 12 close followers, a few women who support him. He travels the countryside and seems to be ridiculed no matter where he goes. Trick questions. Death plots. People making fun of him. People doubting him. The Messiah was to be a great warrior. To lift Israel to new heights. To throw off the Roman aggressors. To be a world leader. This is not Christ's ministry. Christ tells the followers of John the Baptist what his ministry is all about. Healing people. Bringing new life to those who are dying or dead. Preaching good news to the poor. There is no mention in there of judgment. There is no mention in there of the threshing floor of unquenchable fire. There is no mention there of war. There's healing. There's reconciliation. There's new life. There's good news. This is not what the world was expecting. It was not what John the Baptist was expecting. And truth be told, if we carefully examine our lives about what we think of God, about what we think of Christ, it's often not what we're expecting. In our own lives, either privately or aloud, we ask the question like John the Baptist, Jesus, are you the one we've been waiting for, or should we wait for another? And we often ask this question when God doesn't fit inside of our God box. When God doesn't seem to punish those who need punishment. When God doesn't seem to bless us when we think that we've been good. When God doesn't seem to answer our prayers in ways that we think are appropriate. We will sigh. And we'll ask like John the Baptist, are you the Messiah, or should we wait for another? But here we are in Advent, inching up closer to Christmas, and this is a new year. This is a time we're called as Christians, as a church, to enter into a time of new beginnings. And we're called to shuck, to throw away all the old stuff. And we're called to recognize that God does not live in our box. That God does not think like us. God does not act like us. God does not hold the grudges that we hold. God does not hold the aspirations that we hold. God is God, and we are us. We are called to throw away our preconceived notions. And we are to look for God in those surprising places, in the mangers of our world, in the streets of our world, in the countryside of our world. All those places that Jesus went to, that nobody thought the Messiah would go to, those are the places we are called to look for Christ today. Among the untouchables, in our homes, in our families, in our church, in our streets, in our jails, across the ocean, no matter where it is, we are called to look for God at work. And what things is God up to? The same things that Christ alludes to today. Healing the sick, bringing new life to the dead or dying, and proclaiming the good news to the poor. That's God's mission. That's God's ministry in the world. It hasn't changed. And we're called to get on board with it. To let ourselves be surprised. To challenge ourselves. To let God work outside of the box. Let's not make God into ourselves. Let us let God be God and rejoice at what God does. Because God seems to be doing a pretty good job. As we travel towards the Christmas miracle, we are called to be shocked. We are called to be dumbfounded. As God comes into our world, flesh and bone, as a lowly infant, born in a manger. God breaks out of that manger, and God's on the loose. And we're called to look for Him. Amen.